Now, how you doing today? Thinking about this message, and in the light of things that have happened, has almost put a different spin on where I'm going, even though it's still going the same place. It just kind of brings a different kind of sober to the message. It brings a different kind of reality, because we're dealing with the book of Jonah, who was a man who did a lot of murmuring and complaining. And it's just, in the light of things, it just brought this more alive to me than it did when I originally studied to do it. But starting at verse 16 in Matthew 16, verse 1, they asked Jesus to show them a sign. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, testing him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, today will be stormy, because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but cannot interpret the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign, and none will be given to them, except that was given to the sign of Jonas." And Jesus left them and walked away. I kind of jumped through it, but you'll get the story. A wicked and adulterous generation looked for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah. And he turned and he walked away. Now, we went through the Pharisees and all that. But I said, for the sake of time, let's talk about that. We talked about us always needing God to confirm who he is versus believing what he said. And that was the main point of the thing. John the Baptist said, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" in his moment of despair. The same John the Baptist that saw Jesus coming and said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, your shoes I'm not even worthy to unlace." And now he's in the jail. They're talking about cutting off his head, and then he's like, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" Now, it's interesting, because in the moment, are you listening? That things are going the way we think God should make them go, we have no problem acknowledging God. The moment that is threatened slightly, we're not even in jails with our heads about to be cut off. You just got a phone call that you didn't get the job that you was believing for, or your credit wasn't approved for the car you wanted, or you just had an accident and you got a dent in your fender, and you're afraid your rates might go up, and all of a sudden we're in that, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" My roommate was mean to me. My boss said he would give me the raise, and then he didn't. And all of a sudden, we're questioning if God says who he is. And does he mean what he says? Now, some of you are thinking, "No, I don't question when things go wrong. I don't question. And then I don't do that." How many of you admit you may not question God's realism and his existence, but you begin to question if the word you heard was truly the word? See? So it's the same thing. And I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that. And you listen to what I'm about to say. Look right at me and listen to what I'm about to say. You ready? You too, Mike. I know you're typing. Okay. Look right at me. If you question his word, you're questioning him. He is the Logos, the word made flesh. So if you challenge or question his word, then you question his reality and his truth. You question who he says he is if you question the Logos. The Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when I question, so I don't feel like I'm putting you on the spot, what he says, I'm questioning his character. Isn't that true in the natural? If I say to you, I'm going to do something for you, and you say, nah, you're questioning my integrity. You're questioning my character. Why do you think you get a pass when it's God? So, the foundation was, we look for a sign when the word is no longer good enough for us. Not a put down. I'm just giving you some guidelines to kind of check yourself. There's times I've asked God, are you listening to me? To confirm something for me because my faith is shaken or I feel a little intimidated and just give me something. Right? How do I say this so you'll get the balance of it? Because you say, ain't that the same thing? Could be. It's a thin line. Asking my Father to encourage me to keep going in what I believe in him for and questioning if what he said is really true is two different things. Asking, okay. You ever went to the gym and had a trainer? Or work with a trainer? They're there to encourage you. You're not questioning if the workouts are going to work. You just might be tired today and you don't really feel motivated to do it and you're looking for some motivation. The difference is when you begin to question if what God said is real. That's different. So asking God to motivate. You need scripture? I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe. But I'm aware there's an unbelief in me that fights against me. Help me out. That's not me questioning his reality or the truth of his promises. That's me dealing with the nature of the flesh. Got it? Did that help somebody? So I know some of you sitting home say, well, I better not ask for a sign for nothing because I don't want to be, you know. No, no, it's a difference. You're challenging truth versus you're asking for encouragement. Now, it's a fine line. You need to know where you are at those times. Because there are lots of times that we're questioning the validity of his word. He provides your needs according to his riches and glory. I don't mean to go here, but let me just go here real quick. I remember a long time ago when we were believing God and we were sowing seeds and we were doing all the stuff we were supposed to do and we wound up evicted as a family and we wound up not knowing where we were going to live. And I remember saying to God, frustrated and angry, your word says I was young and now I'm old and I never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And here I am begging bread. So what I was saying to God, so I guess you lied. That's what I was saying. I knew that's what I was saying. You're not honoring your word. It's what I was saying to God. I was saying to God, here at this point in time, are you the one or should we look for another? You know, things we've said like, I did better when I was in the world selling drugs. You know, little stuff like that. Church folk don't like to admit that they have them common conversations. And my God is so good. He said, were you really? You know you can always go back. I was really not doing better. Yeah, that's why you found me, because that life sucked. Okay, come on. Am I encouraging you a little bit? If you really believe that you were better off before you started believing God, go back to not believing. See how that works for you. You'll be back quick. Because hopelessness is the thing that brings people to suicide. When you have no hope. When all hope is gone. After having done all the stand, you got that one anchor to say, but God, I just believe. Now, here's where we get to the next phase of this. He said, nothing, you're looking for a sign, but nothing will... Nothing. Let me do this so you can be there. Turn to the book of Jonah while I'm talking. He said, you're seeking for a sign, but none will be given to you but that of the sign of Jonah, or what Jonah had to deal with, pretty much is what he said. You want a sign coming from that place? And think about it. These people he said this to weren't people saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There were times that people doubted, and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And you could see he was frustrated by their lack of faith. But he didn't condemn them to doom like he was doing these people, or to judgment. These people were judging from a sarcastic place. They weren't asking they weren't really inquiring to know how to believe and to walk. They were saying, well, if you're the child of the Son of God, show us a sign that we could believe. So they were saying, we're not going to even believe you until you do something that satisfies our flesh. That's a different type of approach. And he's saying, well, if that's the approach you're coming from, I need you to understand something. There's a penalty for needing that kind of proof. There's a penalty, he said. For needing me to prove myself that way. There's a price for that. You can have it, but there's a price. So, are you at the book of Jonah?
Yes.
Short book. But we're going to walk through this whole book. I'm not going to pull verses out here and verses out there. How many of you have never gone through the whole book of Jonah? Praise God, now you are. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Atamel, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Stop. So Jonah has an assignment from God, an appointment. What is his appointment? Go to Nineveh and do what? No, he didn't say and destroy it. And preach against it, because what? Their wicked ways have come up before me. God said, I'm about to judge them. I want you to go speak to them. Let them know that I'm about to come against them for their ways. Now, I want you to just, before we read on, don't cheat and move ahead. Stay with me. Jonah is a prophet. You got one job to do. God didn't ask him to do something that wasn't his job. God didn't hit him with something that went against everything he was called about to do. He's like, nah, I'm a janitor. I don't prophesy. That ain't my job. That's his job. Go do what I put you here to do. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarsus. Now, I look at a map. I looked at a map. The best way I can describe it is I told you to go to Yonkers and you headed toward Texas. You just, it's not even in the percentage. You didn't go like beside it. You went so far the other way. Right, as close as Yonkers was, so you got the picture. For him to go to Nineveh was a short trip. He chose to go a different direction to a place that was so far from any neighboring towns that had to do with Nineveh. I'm like, dude, you didn't even head off in the direction to the left. You just went total opposite for a place in a whole different region. But that's what he decided to do. So let's just look at this. So God tells him to do what he does, and he does what he's not supposed to do, and heads in a different direction. And he went to Joppa, and he found a ship and bound for that port. After paying his fare, he swiped his metro card, he went aboard, and he sailed for Tarsus to flee from the Lord. Let's stop right there. People already laughing. So there's a boat that you can take that takes you away from God. Hold up now. We're laughing. We're going to laugh a little more. this is a prophet. This is not a layman. Running away in his mind, not from God, but from the instruction of God. And that's the message you got to take from this. He knows he can't run from God. He's putting himself in a place in his mind where he does not have to obey God. Stay with me. Mm-hmm. You know I bring it home now. We laugh when you say he ran from God because you know that's ridiculous. He's not a layman. He's a prophet. He knows there's no running from God. He knows there's not a boat he can get on or airplane, if one existed back then, to take him away from God. He was running away from the instruction. Listen to me. Listen to me. He was trying to put himself in a situation where he couldn't obey God because he put himself in a place where he was no longer in the region or the place to obey God. Now, y'all can stop laughing because everybody in this room has been guilty of that. So when I said, and when we got a good laugh at my expense, that the guy left his charge in there, and I was like, well, I could use that. I'm just going to keep that. And God said, no, you're going to call a man and tell him you have his charger. And I said, no, I'm just going to throw his number away, and I'm going to say, I can't call him because I don't have his number. You follow what I'm saying? You try to put yourself in a situation where you can almost conveniently give yourself an excuse not to obey God. See, all of us can relate to that. You thought when you were in the room with that person and you turned the light off that God couldn't see what you were doing under the covers. Talking about myself, I've been there. I don't know about you. Well, I don't know why you just the room is dark as can be. God don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Those kind of things. I didn't really steal it. I was walking around the store with it in my cart, and I ate all of it, so I just threw the package away. But that's not really stealing. I was sampling the food. You know, I went and got some of that food out the dispensers and ate a handful of nuts and trail mix and went back and got some more. I went back and got some more. But I'm not stealing. I'm just sampling. Again and again and again, and I can't pay for it because it's already in my stomach. I'm just pointing out the little things we do that's like this because it's so easy to look at Jonah and go, he's such an idiot. He really thought he could run from God. I just want to show you, we all think we can. But just like you laughed at him, now you can laugh at you. You can't run either. Oh, God, you want me to say that? Okay, I'll say that. Or that person that you got into that argument and fight with, and God told you not to say what you said, and then you said it, and now they cussed you out, and now you blaming them for cussing you out, even though you said what God told you not to say. I don't know who that was for, but there it is. Sound like somebody's weak. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and made such a violent storm that the ship threatened to break up. That's a storm, boy. And the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. Let me just read that again. And the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. So they had all kinds of different gods on that boat. They had all kinds of gods up on that boat. And they all cried to their own God. But Jonah had gone below deck, and he laid down and fell into a deep sleep, just like God, right? So the captain went to him and said, how are you sleeping? Get up and call on your God. I'm sure you got one, too. We all got gods. Call on yours. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. And the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. I love this. So, don't tell me people that don't know how to hear or don't know God like Jesus, like you, can't get instruction and hear. Because if any man lack wisdom and seek God, God will find him and not find fault. These non-believers were in trouble. And they called on whoever their gods was, Pokemon, Mitsubishi, who don't know who they were, but they had them. And they called on them all, right? And all of a sudden, one of them got a good idea from one of their gods. I think God was speaking to them where he met them. Right. We don't want to die. We don't even know what we did. And God spoke to them through their junk and said, they couldn't get a straight answer because they didn't have a straight relationship. See, a sign. They needed a sign because they didn't have a relationship. So they went and they cast lots. Lots are like dice. So if it falls on this number, it's Jonah. If it falls on this number, it's you. Come on, not me. Jonah, it's you. Spin the bottle, whatever they did. It's you. Now, here's why I'm making this point. In the midst of trouble, these people who were not Israel and not people who served God still knew how to find an answer. Let's go back. We don't have to turn there, but let's go back in our minds. We just read in Matthew. Jesus said, you hypocrite, you can look at the sky and you can say it's good day today because the sky is fair and red. Or you can look at it and see it's overcast, the cloud, and say it's going to rain today. But you can judge the signs of the day, but you can't determine the signs of the time. So he was saying there's a fault that you, being spiritual people or not spiritual people, can't just look at the signs of the times and make an assessment. Why would he say that and then go ahead again and show this, that these men had the ability to determine what was going on in their boat just with the religious beliefs that they had? Listen to me. Because God is available to answer anyone and guide anyone if they're seeking him. Even if you're seeking him wrong, he'll use those channels to lie you to him if he knows you're really seeking him. I'm standing here saved today because I was trying to be never a Christian. From Buddha to Hare Krishna to Muslim, I studied, I sat, I went to the transcendental meditations, all of this mess, only to be led straight to his throne. But he knew I was seeking. I was seeking truth. And no matter what kind of lying spirits pop up, if you're really seeking truth, God will lead you to truth. If you're seeking religion, or I like this religion because it speaks to me, well, then that's where you'll be deceived, right? Where you decided to be happy. But if you're looking for truth, only truth can speak. Amen. Say that one more time. If you're looking for truth, only truth can speak. If you're looking for the thing that makes you feel good about the decision you already made, you're going to wind up with some things that are going to hurt you. Are you listening to me today? Yes. So they called on their gods. And then they told them, call on yours. And then they said, you know what? Let's go throw some dice and see where this goes. Now, then the seller said to each other, come, let's cast lots. To find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? Oh, my God. I want you to just take a breathe that in for a minute, okay? So they asked him, who is responsible for making this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you? Now, here we go again. You ready? You ready? How is it that these people that don't know God, right, knew how to get before God and find out what was going on. Listen to what I'm about to say to you, because this is going to hurt maybe not your feelings that have been here, but some people probably watching online who still have their stupid beliefs. Ready? They felt that what was going on, which was negative and bad, it was a storm, was supposed to be happening to them. And so they wanted to find out from God, what did we do wrong? Did this happen? Where the average Christian go, well, God got a plan for it. Maybe he wanted it to happen to teach me something. When the non-believers knew that this was not righteous, or if this is happening, something's got to be wrong in my life. They knew immediately to take responsibility for the fact that something's going wrong and not point a finger at God. I wish I could kind of get in the time machine and find out who's the idiot that started that philosophy in the church and just snuff him out. Like, I want to know, because the church has been set back for centuries with that stupidity. Well, God's let it happen because there's a secret reason that you know. Yet, they didn't even have Jesus yet. They didn't have a redeemer or a savior who died for their sins. And they knew that this should not be in our lives. And if something is going wrong and things are going wrong against me, I need to do some investigation. Maybe some of y'all need to go home and cast lots and find out why you where you at. Just a thought. Just a thought. I'm glad you laughed. I didn't think that would go over so well. Are you understanding? It's a shame when the people that so-called don't know God know how to hear from God better than those who claim to be his. That's my point. So they immediately said, we want to know who you are and where you come from. And he answered, I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And this terrified them. Okay, we know our God didn't make all of that. Whatever our God is, we know he ain't make nothing. You talking about you serve a God that made everything? Okay, are you seeing how stupid church folks sound sometimes? Because most people, when you talk to them about their gods, they will tell you, oh no, I don't believe he did all of that. I've been with a lot of different religions. I'm telling you right now, and they'll tell you straight up, no. I don't believe Jesus died for our sins. So then what happened to your sins? I believe when we die, we go back to the ground. Dag. That's it? I might come back as a roach or something. Wow. So you guys they believe that. I got into an argument with this guy on my job a while ago. So long since I had a job, but I did have a job once upon a time, and this guy, he was trying to come against my faith. He really was trying to rib me, and it was him and one other person with him, so he had a partner, so I guess he felt strong. He didn't know who he was messing with, and he started making fun of that I believe that I'm going to rise again and Jesus died for my sins and all that. And he was like saying and laughing at me like, you so stupid to believe that. And I said, wait a minute. You're a Hindu, right? See, now it's messed up. That's what I said. You have an account for everything. I studied enough of them all to know enough about each one that I have a defense for what I believe. I said, wait a minute. You're a Hindu. So wait a minute. You believe if you eat a cow, you're going to come back as a cow and somebody's going to eat you. And then that person that eats you going to come back as a cow and somebody's going to eat him. And so the cow cycle of eating cows and stuff. So what if you step on an ant? You're going to come back as an ant and somebody's going to step on you, and then that ant is going to be stepped on by someone. And just this cycle, your God is the most stupid, confused God ever. It's a cycle of revenge and repercussion of looping and looping and looping. This is like a stupid nightmare, and you are literally questioning salvation. So God can't save me from the grave, but he could turn me into an ant and send me back as an ant to be stepped on. And then I just started laughing at him, like fake laughing, but I was falling out the chair laughing as hard as I could laugh, and he got so embarrassed. And then the guy going to say to me, you know, you really came at him really hard. You shouldn't have done that. He started it. I finished it. My point is this. Most people have these faiths that don't believe in a God that really delivers anything. They believe that God just dropped you here, left you here, and went off on a cruise in his car, and, you know, he might be back. You know, he may not. You never know. He's just one of them fathers, like he's deadbeat. He dropped you off, and, you know, you figure it out. And that, unfortunately, is stronger in the Christian church. These people believed enough that when he said, my God made heaven and earth, they took notice. Whoa. Okay, you got a different kind of God. Somebody bear witness with me. Look at somebody and say, we got a different kind of God. Our God is not limited to statues and holy water. Our God is not limited to rituals and stuff. It's a God that we can communicate on a first name basis with. Who knows us by name. Do you understand? Come on, saints. Get a little more excited about this. You serve the God that created the heaven, the earth, the stars, the universe, the moons, the suns, everything that exists. He created. This is the God you serve, not the God who brings good luck to your house if you burn a candle and, you know, hang a picture upside down. See? So he told them, and they were afraid. He said, so they said, what have you done? Because they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. Now, running away from the Lord again means obeying. Avoiding obeying. Somebody say, running away from the Lord means avoiding obeying him. And sea was getting rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Again, they expect deliverance. The non-believers expect deliverance. The church thinks they got to take what they get. The non-believers are saying, if there's something we can do to make this better, what is it? I'm going to stay on that for another minute because I don't think you're really getting what I'm saying to you. How many times does stuff happen in your life and you think that you just got to deal with it? It's bad. You don't know if it's God or not. Maybe it's something I did or said. But you just think still, even if you think that, you think that you got to stay with it. With every temptation, with every trial, God is faithful and he provides a way of escape. I'm always asking for the out. No, you're not getting me. You're not getting me. I know you're not. I can feel it in my spirit. Prepare your heart to hear what I'm saying. You ready? We should expect in any situation a solution and an answer from our God. We should expect, no matter whether it's going wrong or right or up or down, that if we find ourselves in a bind of any kind of way, God does not want us there, and if we seek him, he will show us how to get out. There should be no situation that you should be confronted with that you feel bewildered, lost, or confused. Never. The fact that you are is because you accept it. Say this, God always wants better for me than I want for myself. Amen. Always. I never accept a negative situation as, oh, well, it's just what it is. I got to take it. I would have to go to God himself, and he would have to say to me, I put that disease on you, doggone it, just be happy and live with it. And I can't find anywhere in my spirit, in the Bible, or anywhere that God has ever said that to anyone. Okay, let me say one more thing. If I'm not supposed to have it, I don't want to have it. And I'm not going to accept it. Amen? I'm tired of the church accepting the devil's lies. That's why he said the children of unrighteousness are wiser in this generation than the children of light. They know better than that. These people knew better than that. They said, one, whatever's happening to us, we don't think we did it ourselves. And if we did, we want to find out who did it so we can fix it. Two, once they found the person, they said, okay, what do we need to do to fix this? So their mind was always on the fix, on the God that makes things right. Not the God that makes things wrong. Say, I serve the God who makes all things right. Say it again. Say it with some conviction. Oh man, y'all could give him a hand or a praise or something for that. It amazes me when I look at how the world believes in a good God better than the church does. So he responds to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. For I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now me, I'd have been like, in the sea you go, buddy. And away. Say no more. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew wilder than before. And they cried out to the Lord. Now, you understand? And I want you to know, when it said they spoke to their gods, if you're reading, it was small g's. Now they're crying out to the Lord, it's capital L. So they got saved. Just based on his testimony of who he serves, and they said, well, then we want to roll with your God. So they now, all of a sudden, a bunch of men who all had a bunch of different gods, a whole bunch of different gods when it started, remember? Everybody had a different god. Oh, go all your talk to your gods, get your tower cards, whatever you need to do. Now they're all in unison. If we're not impacting people like this, something wrong, man. Even in calamity, they was down with his God. Man, this story always gets to me. So they tried, no, we don't want to kill him. So they cried out to the Lord. Please, Lord, capital L again, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing this innocent man. He's not innocent, but okay. For you, Lord, have done as you please. So they said, don't blame us. We're going to throw him in the water. We just want to make sure it's good with you, Lord. So they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the sea went calm, baby. And the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Come on. They knew more about the Bible from one moment. Hold up. They sacrificed to the Lord and making vows. Did they take a crash course on Israelite life? Like, what did they do? Totally converted. With wisdom instruction on what to do. I'm trying to figure, did he get a chance to explain all of this to them? Did some of them know about it but just weren't doing it? And after they saw this, they said, you know what? This is how we need to do this. But these men immediately, upon God's deliverance, made a vow, worshiped, came to the true God, the delivering God, just like that. I don't know about you, but I serve a delivering God. I don't know about you, but my God's always looking for the way to make things better for me. And my God, you know what I found out about my God? It's really deep. He knows the plans that he has for me. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give me hope and an expected end. I found that out. I don't know if you ever heard that, but it's in the Bible. I know I have the plans I have for you. Oh, Dorgan, then I want to know the plans you have for me, because your plans sound good. To give me a hope and then bring it to pass. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, to bring me a hope and a future. You ain't ready. You're too quiet. I'm just gonna worship by myself then. Listen. Huh. They feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now, the Lord prepared a big fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Stop. So, here's another revelation that comes then. They try to roll back, take Jonah back to where he should have been so he can do what he's supposed to do. And it got worse. So they decided to say, okay, God, we're going to do what you said. Just don't hold it against us. They threw him in the water. God had prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, I want you to think about this. You ready for this? They got an instruction from this prophet. The only way to save yourself, throw me in the water. God already had the fish. Fish was sitting outside the boat like. They tried to do, you're listening to me? Watch my fingers. The right thing. And not throw them in the water, but try to go back to shore with them. So in their attempt to do the, they were still disobeying God. They were trying to do what seemed to right to them. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end therein is destruction. See, the scriptures cover all of this stuff, man. It covers it all. So it seemed right to them to not kill him, but to try to take him back. God said, no. I don't want him back. I got a fish waiting for him. I got other plans for him. So in their desire to do what seemed humanitarian right. I've had people say to me, I think you could have, I think he was a little hard. I think you could have done that different. I'm like, yeah. That's why you in the whale's belly and ain't got out yet in 10 years and I'm not. Because I'm going to do what I believe is right no matter how you feel about it. Sometimes, Pastor, you could be a little strong. Usually with instruction to do so. And if you don't agree, it doesn't matter. I don't answer to you. But I ain't in no well. I'm not trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my bills and eat. I'm just trying to be real. You used to always say, that was kind of hard. Why you were in the throes of death, consistently trying to tell me what's the right thing to do. And I'm like, yeah, but how's that working for you? Right? Because at the end of the day, listen to me, we got to do what's right before God, not right before men. Right. And anything we do, even out of our own conviction, our own so-called moral conscience, that goes against what God has said to do, is disobedience. And what happened? The waves hit the boat harder, and the boat got smacked around worse. Like, no, 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 no. You're not going to try to fix things by going back to land. You were given an instruction. Throw him off. See, this is where I get pastor and preachy, because I think you're missing me. There's some people you're supposed to throw off the boat a long time ago. There's some people in your life that you should have been tossed into the sea and the sea would have calmed. But you're trying to do the right thing by them. And the water just keep getting rougher and rougher. And you won't throw them out. Well, I can see from the look of some of your faces, you're like, oh my goodness, okay, I'm going to get rid of them. I am. I'm going to get rid of them when I get out this church. You should be shooting them a text right now. I won't even get mad. We're done. I'm tossing you in the sea now. Come on, somebody bear witness what I'm talking about right here? Some people you got to touch toward. I'm just trying to help them. No, you're not. You're disobeying. Okay, that's the end of that. That's the end of that one. I think you got the point. Sometimes I'm saying something, I'm like, I think they're getting the point. God, like, no, just say it real direct because they're not getting it. So now here he sits in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. This here is symbolic. How many days?
3 days.
How many days was Jesus in the tomb?
3 days.
He said, none will be given you save that of Jonas. He's talking about him being in the tomb and being out, but he also was talking about the manifestation of disobedience. He was very clearly talking about the manifestation of disobedience and religious mindedness that goes against the word or instruction of God. He was being very clear, very detailed. Now, he's in his whale's belly for 3 days. This is an interesting thing for the similarity I just pointed out, one. But two, for this. You do understand about digestive fluids, right? See, people, just church folk, just live out. He was in the whale's belly. What do you think? He had an apartment in there with candles and a table. We had 3 meals a day in the whale's belly, eating the stuff that came in. He had a little room set up on the side. And no, it's not like the cartoons where they live in the whale and they have apartments. No, he's in a whale's belly in his digestive fluids that should normally kill him within 24 hours. He should have been by whale, by day three, he should have been whale poop. But alive. And protected. And kept. And sheltered. And being prepared for his destiny, even in his disobedient hardship. I was homeless when I first read this whole book. And man, I did everything them guys on the boat did. I asked all the questions, what do I need to throw out? I did everything I needed to do. And then when I tell you my life changed literally from being homeless to being financially independent in less than 8 months, I exaggerate not. Merle, you were there, you know. And he watched it and fought against me all the way. And I still said, all right, you can say what you want, but I'm doing this. And I'm going to tell you this. I read this book, and I said, wow, in my mess, you kept me alive. I should have been digested and devoured by the enemy. And you kept me alive. You kept me alive for a reason. And what is that reason? And you know what I was running from? I'm going to wrap up. We're running out of time. This right here. I knew I was called to be a preacher and to be a pastor and be in the ministry, and I was like, absolutely not. no other way. And I even tried, if there be any other way, take this cup from me. And God said, it didn't work for Jesus. It don't work for you. You take the cup. So I tried to run in every direction but ministry. Well, I have a business, and I minister to people who come in my office, and I pray with them, and I lead them to Jesus. Oh, so you giving me your plan B. But I really convinced myself that I'm going to have a Bible study, and I'm going to just do Bible study. Okay. Okay. So, here's what I'm going to wrap up for today. Next week, we're going to pick up chapter 2. That's the most verses we ever read in one day. But I want you to get the story. But here's what I want to pick. Here's what we're going to pick up next week. So this preview, coming next week. From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God and said. This is what we want to cover next week. Jonah, now in the whale, as a result of his own decisions, decides to call out to the Lord. And he starts by saying things like this. First verse. In my distress, I called unto the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep, in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, I'm going to stop right here for now, because here's what's deep. As we go through this thing, we're going to see the frame. Are you listening to me? I want you, and you can cheat, and if you want, go ahead. But here's what you're going to realize as you read this prayer. Everything Jonah is saying in this prayer, are you listening? Are you listening? Is in the affirmative and in the going forward. He's not in his prayer whining about where he is and woe is me and my life is so bad and now I'm in the well and I'm going to die. He's speaking already like he's been delivered. Everything in his prayer, he's talking about the deliverance of God, and you brought me out from the whale's belly. And he's saying something like, dude, you're still in the whale. This is the mindset that the believer has to have. Like those men on a boat expected deliverance, expected good. Even in the belly of the whale, he's expecting deliverance. He's speaking good. He's talking about the goodness of God. He's believing for God here. Yeah, even this will turn around for me and things will be great. This is the mindset of a believer. Maybe not a Christian, but a believer. He is speaking life and what is to be and what kind of God God is, not his situation. I thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure ministering to you. Amen. And amen.